May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer.
Amen.
Please be seated. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Our God, we don't actually know what it was about Nazareth that led Nathanael to respond to this invitation to come meet Jesus, son of Joseph of Nazareth, with such clear disdain. We know that Nazareth was a very small little town, probably no more than 150 residents. We know that it was up in Galilee, which was the rural backwater of the province of Palestine, the Roman province of Palestine. We know that it was a pretty insignificant place. We know that it was small and poor, in a nation that was small and poor, that creaked and groaned under an occupation where most of the wealth went back to the emperor in Rome and to a very small, tiny elite in Jerusalem, a place where people had few opportunities to better their lives, a place where people had few options. It was, actually, come to think of it, the kind of place that our president would probably refer to as a, well, let's just say slum, so my sermon isn't R-rated today. Nazareth was clearly not on anybody's list of important places, the sort of place you would go to recruit a force, God's people, a host for God from. It is not the kind of hometown that most people would look for on the resume of the Son of God. And that is no doubt why Nathanael, when Philip says, "Hey, we found the Messiah," goes, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" That is, after all, one of our deepest human failings. Our sense that there are some places, some addresses, some claims of origin, some families, some tribes that are inherently better than other addresses, names, and tribes. And it's almost always the one we belong to. Very few do we say, "Wow, how I rose above my roots, because my address, the place I came from, that was terrible. Thank God I didn't stay there." Unless, of course, we're trying to get elected and we want to do the log cabin thing. It is a common human failing to simply dismiss out of hand people who come from unimportant backgrounds, from those families that, you know who they are, from those places that we can simply generalize as slums. But you know what's really curious is that if we read the Bible, we will discover that God does not share our views. That God looks at this very, very differently. And that God, in fact, frequently and regularly calls into his service, calls to receive the good news, calls to be part of what he is doing, the very people that we would dismiss. God seems to have a fondness for scoundrels and murderers and illiterate farmers. God constantly works through barren women and younger sons. And he works in places where, if we were looking for the glory of God, we would not begin. We would not look for a little tiny desert country in the smack dab in the path between mighty empires that would never manage to hold its own for very long, because there was bound to be another army marching through. That isn't where we would say, "Oh God, there's the place to reveal your glory." exactly what God chose in Israel. We would never say, huh, I want to find somebody to lead my people out of slavery, again, in the mightiest empire on earth, and choose a man who fled a murder charge and was hiding amidst the sheep in a backwoods called Midian. A man who, when he was called by God, spends two chapters explaining to God why he's not suited to the job. If we were picking people to make up the people of God, we would not choose any of the prophets. And we certainly wouldn't pick Amos, who brags about being a sycamore farmer, about having nothing, about being illiterate. He brags about his humble beginnings and says, why on earth would God call me? And by the way, the temple authorities kind of agreed with him at the time. And yet, these are the people that God speaks to and calls. We probably would not choose Samuel, who is a small child, but when God calls him, misses that call four times. He has to be instructed by the priest, who is so not acceptable to God that God won't talk to him. We would not choose Samuel's mother, Hannah, a woman who was unable to conceive a child, and whose desperate prayers for a child are so distraught and incoherent that the priest thinks she's drunk and tries to throw her out. We would not choose any of these people. And we probably would not have expected it to be Jesus, son of Joseph, of Nazareth, either. We probably would have had the same reaction Nathaniel has. Can anything good come from Nazareth? Son of Joseph? From Nazareth? You've got to be out of your mind. This is not how the Messiah comes. But we have some extra insight that Nathaniel doesn't, because we have the rest of the stories of Jesus. We have the rest of the tales of what happens next. I'm not entirely sure what's up with the fig tree. Everybody spent a lot of time trying to figure it out, but it's clear that Jesus sees Nathanael in a way that nobody else has. And Nathanael recognizes the insight, the knowledge, the understanding, the wisdom standing in front of him. And he offers one of the first declarations of who Jesus is. You are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Not merely son of Joseph from Nazareth, Son of God, King of Israel. And amazingly, the two are not mutually exclusive. Our calling as Christians is to see the world the way God sees the world. To realize that in fact, it does not matter what address you come from. That it is not important what country you are born into citizenship with. That it is not, what matters is not which side of the tracks you now live on. That in fact, God can and does work in the lives of people everywhere. That in fact, our brothers and sisters in Christ can be found everywhere. The good news of Jesus' coming is for everyone. Whether they live in mansions and have wealth and the best education and terrific breeding, or they come from one of those slums. God's love for the world is such that God often calls us, enters into our lives, works in the very places where we would think there's no need to pay attention to. And if we want to see with God's eyes, if we want to understand understand the gospel, the good news of Jesus, son of Joseph, from Nazareth, then we're going to have to be willing to look in places that we wouldn't have anticipated going, and we are going to have to receive people that we might not have intuitively welcomed. Amen.